keep worshiping. Let's praise Him right now. Thank you, God. We worship you, God. We lift your name up, Jesus. We lift you up, God, today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. There is none like you. Hallelujah. There's something about when we lift Him up, and when it's about Him, and we're looking unto Him and not looking to our problems, that His presence is here. But it doesn't work the other way around. When our focus is on our problems, His presence is still here, but we don't entertain it. We don't notice it. We don't let it impact our lives because our focus is what we're going through and not up. Our focus is not up. Praise God. Praise God. I just have one verse I want to start with this morning. Psalm 61, verse 2. Psalm 61, verse 2, if you have your Bibles or iPads or whatever you're using, tablets. And it says this, "From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You can be seated this morning. How many people have ever heard of the Freemasons? Yes. The Freemasons is a centuries-old fraternal organization that promotes personal development, ethical living, charity, and brotherhood through symbolic rituals, moral teachings, and community involvement. And members must believe in a higher power, but all the members come from diverse religious and or cultural backgrounds. The Freemasons say that you have to believe in the great architect of the universe, whatever that means to you. It's super broad. But this idea for the Freemasons of believing in something higher than yourself, one, it gives a foundation for accountability. Because if there's someone or something higher than you, then you're living for more than just you. And there's this moral law that's above our ideas. And so really it's saying that, like, okay, there's something greater out there for me to follow. Okay? It also teaches personal humility, that it encourages humility by reminding people that you're part of something larger. Alcoholics Anonymous is a group that focuses on recovery for alcohol addiction. They, too, believe in that you should have some sort of belief in a higher power. Because if you do, that helps you to let go of control, because you cannot conquer alcohol addiction by willpower alone. You need more than just yourself. This is their lines, and I'm putting it in my words, okay? They also believe that you need this belief in something more than yourself, because recovery is tied to transformation. You have to transform. You need to be changed. And that usually requires believing in something beyond yourself, because if it was just up to you, you wouldn't be in the spot you're in. Up to you keeps you where you're at. To get out of it, you need something more. And so they believe that you should believe that there's something more, and they keep it a little more vague. The group might be the more. But you got to believe in something higher than yourself. Those who follow the Stoic philosophy from years and years and years ago, the Platos and the Aristotles and the Socrates, they're called the Stoics. And the Stoics believe that there should be submission to the natural order of the universe, the Logos. They believe that understanding that there is more than you leads to peace and virtue and self-mastery. This idea of believing in something higher and acting as though there is something higher is not unique to Christianity. How many people have ever heard the name Jordan Peterson? Okay, some of you. Jordan Peterson is a Canadian psychologist, author, and lecturer who focuses on psychology, personal responsibility, politics, and most recently, religion. His idea as a psychologist, not as a Christian, he very much will not call himself a Christian, but his idea is that you need to aim at something above yourself. Anything. You need to aim at something above yourself, because without something above yourself, you have no guide. His quote is that you have to have some notion of what the highest good is, and that's effectively your God, even if you don't think of it in theological terms. What's the highest good? That's your God. He says that belief in something more than you, something that's transcendent, grounds you against chaos. Living as though God exists is the wisest bet, he would say. Even if he would say, maybe God exists, maybe it doesn't. He would say, living as though God exists is because believing in a higher power is necessary to shape individuals, families, and societies. Even if you can't prove God exists, there is a benefit. The psychological community, Jordan Peterson would say, to act as if God exists because I can't see another way to act that would make sense. Because it is a higher power. It's a transcendent way of looking at things. Jordan Peterson uses the phrase, aim up. And whatever you're doing, aim up. Aim up in your marriage. Aim up in your personal growth. Aim up in your walk with God. Aim up is the phrase he uses. And then I've heard the phrase, because I've shot a lot of guns in the military, that if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Right? If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And so we're seeing this idea in the Stoics and in psychology, and you're seeing it in Alcoholics Anonymous and all these, the Boy Scouts, the Odwell group. There's all these groups that say we have to believe in something more, otherwise there's no reason for what we're doing. And David in the Bible, I think, caught this idea better than anyone else. Because in Psalm 61:2, it says, from the end of the earth, I will cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock. In this verse, rock is this God, this higher idea that is higher than I. When I think of David, I think of shepherd. I think of giant killer, poet, warrior, adulterer, murderer, man after God's own heart, fugitive, father, worshipful, prideful, sinner, repentant, legacy. In the Psalms, David talks so much about the position of God. It seems through everything David went through, his aim was higher than himself. You see in the Psalms, I'm in the middle in my Bible reading right now, going through the Psalms, and so many times David paints this picture that God is higher, or that I exalt you, God, to be higher. I notice you are above the heavens. I notice you are above the earth. I notice you are above the nations. It seems through everything David went through his running from not being wanted, to killing a giant, to being a fugitive while he was still anointed, to being an adulterer, to a liar, to doing a census where he's counting the people, and God's like, why are you counting the people? I got this. In all his good times, in all his bad times, in all of the Psalms, we see David pointing to God as being higher than himself. In Psalms 99:2, it says, the Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. In Psalms 113:4, David says, the Lord is high above all the nations, his glory above the heavens. I think David had this figured out, because if anybody had perspective, I think it was David. If anybody knew where the focus should be, I think it was David. And what's cool about David as an example is he wasn't perfect. We all like to say he was a man after God's own heart because it says it in here, but he was also an adulterer. He was a fugitive. He was a kid nobody wanted. Like, he had all the goods and all the bads. He really represents us. And when I look at what it means to look up, this idea to focus on God being higher than me, this idea that my direction of focus, the way I look in my life, the way I aim, I start to see some things in the Bible. I start to see some lessons in the Bible. Because what the Bible says about God, and I just read a couple of David, you could find 30, 40 more in the Psalms. Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We're learning that there's this position of God and there's this posture that we are supposed to have. We read it, our brother Marvin read it in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my names will, if their posture will be one of humility. But think about this though. There's a posture of humility that kind of shows this, like I'm being humble. But they will what? Seek my face. So this posture and position is important, because the posture that this verse is talking about is, he says, I'm the high and lowly one. I'm the one with all the position. I dwell in the high and lowly place, but he who comes to me with a contrite and humble spirit those are the ones I will revive. Our posture is important. There's a difference between our posture and where we're looking. We can have a posture of humility and be looking up. Job 2:12 says, "Is not God in the height of heaven? And see the highest stars, how lofty they are." God is as high as heaven could be. And you see how high the stars are? That's him, and he's higher than that. Hebrews 7:26, "For such a high priest was fitting for us." This is talking about Jesus, "who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." Jesus Christ has become higher than the heavens. We read, those are just three verses. I've already got too many verses for Brittany to keep track of, I'm sure. But that's just three. Go through the Bible and look at all the times that talk about higher and elevated and exalted. And you start to see this idea that God's position is high. And it's not because he's looking down at us like little losers who are low. I don't believe that. I think there's a lesson that we are that he is calling us to look up. This idea of looking up. And so today I want to go through some ideas of what looking up does for us. Number one, looking up reminds us that we cannot do this on our own. God is in control and he cares for us. Psalms 121, 1 through 2, David, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I will lift up my eyes because I know my help comes from something outside of me. It's me that gets me into these adulterous situations. It's me that gets me into these problem situations. It's me that's counting the people, but I'm going to look up because I know I can't do this on my own." And in the moment when it seems difficult to look up, we can call out to God who, according to Psalms 3, 2 through 4, says, "Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God." There's a lot of people out there that saying there's no help for Peter in God. "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill." This is not the God that looks down and says, "That's the little person, I don't listen to them." This is the God that says, "Not only will I hear you, but in those moments where you're struggling to look up, I'm going to help you lift up your head." Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Looking up reminds us that God is in control. These are great verses sometimes when you're going through something good or bad to read and remind ourselves, like, I'm going to look up and see God in this situation. I'm going to remember that he's in control of this situation. I'm going to remember that he loves me and cares for me. Because Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Focusing on Jesus reminds us that he is with us and he is working in us. It reminds us that his position is higher. Because when we put him lower, the impact that he can have is so much less. It is when we lift him up to that standard and say, "God, I'll lift you up there. I'll look up to where you're at." Isaiah 40:26 says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them by name." This is interesting. There's a little dichotomy in this verse because it starts out and says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number." This sounds like an all-powerful, you know, creator of the universe, cosmic powers, right? True. But then it says he calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. This isn't just a God who has all power and is in control. This is a God who cares about us. And when we are looking up, we see that he cares about us. When we are looking down, it's hard to notice that God is caring about us. When our focus is upward, when our aim is upward, when our focus is on Jesus, it starts to make sense that, okay, I feel like no one cares about me. I feel like everything is against me. But when I look up, I see that God cares about me. And yes, he's got all power in heaven and in earth, and he counts the stars and names them, and he knows every hair on my head. Looking up reminds us we cannot do this on our own. God is in control, and he cares for us. Looking up elevates Jesus and not ourselves. Remember, we talked of my people will humble themselves. This is not about me being elevated. This is not about you being elevated. Looking up is all about elevating Jesus. And we talk about this posture idea. Philippians 2, 5 through 10 says, let this mind be in you. Have the same mindset. Be looking at the same things that was also that Christ Jesus looked at. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Have the same mindset. A posture of humility. But one that's looking forward and up to what God has. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, capitalized Jesus, and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. Our posture should be one. Our mindset should be one. Our aim should be one up, but a posture of humility. Everything is below the name of Jesus. We should look up. We should focus higher, but we should stay humble. Think of the story of the Tower of Babel. Their focus was not just to look up, but to be up. Their perspective, their focus was up. They were looking up, but their goals were still earthly. Being equal with God, not lifting God higher. It wasn't about elevating Jesus. It was about elevating themselves to where Jesus was. Lucifer, it says in Isaiah 14, 13, that he looked to Jesus wanting to ascend into heaven to exalt himself above the stars. Our position should be that of Jesus, a humble servant. But our perspective, the way we look, should be much higher. Our aim should be to God. Looking up refocuses our aim from the things of this earth to the things of God. The difference between focus and perspective is that focus is what we are looking at, what we are focusing on. Perspective is how we view it. Okay? We'll get to perspective in a minute. So this refocus, the moment we start looking up, our focus changes. We're no longer looking at the things of this earth. We're no longer looking at the temporal. We're looking at the eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Colossians 3:1-2 says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Focusing on Jesus is looking up. Focusing on the problem, the negative, the voices, not the crazy voices, but you know what I mean, the voices in your head. Focusing on what you see or what God has promised. See that we have an opportunity to focus on what we see, what we feel, or we have an opportunity to focus on what God has promised in his word. Sister Jessica talked about it this morning. We can think about and look to the things God has done in our lives, or we can forget about it and stay where we're at looking down. Looking up refocuses our aim because we're no longer aimed down, we're aimed up. We need to look up. Look up, and then the things that we're looking at will be smaller. Think about the Israelites. They were leaving Egypt and they were running away, and they were not running away, but they're running away from Egypt. And they're backed up against the Red Sea, and the army's right in front of them. There's a stand here. And the army's right in front of them, and the sea behind them. The focus is on the Red Sea and the armies, not on God's promise that he was going to deliver them. The focus was on what they could see and what was around them. Their focus wasn't on what they knew was a promise from God. Looking up refocuses our aim. It just the physical act of looking up refocuses what we are choosing to care about. Jesus says in Matthew, he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things you care about, the things you're setting up, the things you value, that's where your effort will go. And so if we're constantly looking down and valuing around, that's where our energy and time will just get sucked from us. But when our focus is up, when we're looking up to heaven, God does something in our lives. And sometimes it's not that he's doing this big thing, it's that he's showing us that what's going on is there for us. Looking up shifts our perspective from our immediate circumstances to God's eternal perspective. Brother Grant, Bishop used to say, and he used to say that from Ephesians 2:6, and he's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He always said, I want to pray until I can see things the way God sees them. I want to have the perspective that God has. I want my situation to seem smaller. I still see it, but my focus being up means my perspective on what it is changes. Because I'm looking up, because I'm changing what I'm focusing on, how I perceive what it is different. It helps us see we are not alone. It helps us see things as God sees them. It helps us to recognize truth versus fiction or lies. You might still see the problem. You might still see the situation or the circumstance. But now because your perspective is being changed, because you're looking up, you might realize that God can and is working all things together. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. To the ones that are looking up, God's working through that. There's a story of Elisha and his servant, and there's all these armies coming after them. And his servant's really scared. And Elisha says in 2 Kings 6:16, he says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the armies of the kings of Syria. The servant's perspective is to view the situation through the eyes of someone counting swords. But Elisha prays, and God opens the servant's eyes. He changes his perspective. And now that he's looking through God's eyes, he sees things a little bit differently. Now he sees a mountain full of horses and chariots of fire. He sees the unseen spiritual forces that are at work in the situation. The situation didn't leave. The armies are still there. But because he focused to God, his perspective changed. Looking up shifts our perspective so we see his power, not our position. We see his holiness and our unworthiness, not us. Well, I deserve something, God. We see his grace and not the condemnation that's brought by the devil or our own flesh. When we are looking up, our perspective now can start to see God's grace at work in our lives. Because Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, to those that are aiming to Jesus. There's no condemnation in that. Our perspective changes, and now we see his truth and not our feelings. All because we're looking up. We see his love, and we see ourselves as unlovable. We see his love and not the fact that we think we're unlovable because our perspective changes. When we look up, we see his forgiveness and not our sin. When we look down, we see our sin. And God's like, no, look up. I've got your sin covered. It's gone. When we look up, we see his mercies, not the judgment we deserve or think we deserve. Looking up welcomes the presence of God. You saw it today. When this church, when Brother Marvin was talking, when we were unified, when we were looking up, when we were worshiping up, when we were lifting him up, the presence of God was here so strong. 2 Chronicles 5:11 says, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, For all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. Verse 13, indeed, so after they had sanctified themselves and came out of the holy place, indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, when they lifted up their voice and praised the Lord, when they looked up and they said, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And when that happened, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. When we look up, when we worship up, when we praise up, when our aim is up, when our focus is up, the presence of God comes down because of our posture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and look up and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Looking up welcomes and brings the presence of God down. It says that, I always joke with my kids that the Bible says I say it this way. I say, hey, when you sing, God says, man, that smells good. I just like to make them think about it a little bit. But it says when we worship him, when we lift him up, it is a sweet-smelling savor. It's like, I like that. I'm going over there. There was something at my office the other day, and there was like an event, and they had food, and literally people were walking down the hallway because they smelled this. They're like, what is this? It was fried chicken waffles and shrimp and grits, and it was amazing. And everybody in the office that wasn't invited was like standing outside like, what is that smell? I was invited. It was amazing. Best grits I've ever had by a mile. But that's what God is like. He's like, that smells good. That's where I want to be. That's where my presence is. And the glory of God comes down when we are looking up, when we are lifting him up. Looking up helps us to see the world as more than just us. When we sit in heavenly places, we start to see that, hey, it's not just my life. Too often I get caught up in my little circle. Sometimes we think the world either revolves around us or is out to get us. Right? Sometimes we think, why did this train go through Madison, the isthmus, and it hit three of my stoplights in one morning? This train is out to get me. But when I look up, I start to realize, okay, I'm not the only person in my house. I'm not the only person in my neighborhood. I'm definitely not the only person in this city. And my perspective changes. It starts to see the world as more than just me and my family. Looking up helps us to focus less on what everyone else is doing. And when our aim is at Jesus, it helps us to not see people as competition, but it helps us to see people as children of God. That's why, and we've been talking about this, and we mentioned it in prayer meeting, that's why he said, look up, the fields are white with harvest. When we are focused down, we don't see anything around us. But when we're looking up, we start to see the world around us. And when we have the perspective, because we're sitting in heavenly places, and because we're wanting to see things as God sees them, and our focus is up, and our perspective changes, we start to see, wow, look at all these children of God. This is not a person that hurts me. This is a person that might be hurting. And I have the presence of God in my life. And I can show them love. Oh, but what if they hurt you, Peter? You know what? My perspective is different. My perspective says, I'm going to pray for those who despitefully use me and persecute you. But you can't have that perspective if you're looking down. If you're competing and wondering who's got it better and why are you not got that and how come the trains are coming to hurt you? It's when we look up that we can have the perspective that Jesus had. Isaiah 6, 1 through 9. Isaiah 6, 1 through 9, we hear about, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. I just want to tell you that looking up brings purpose. Looking up brings purpose. It says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it, two stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, and two he covered with his face, and two he covered with his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We see it again. The perspective is up, and the glory comes down. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone. Looking up helps us have the right posture. It helps us have the posture of humility. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Looking up helps us to see our actual condition. It helps us to realize that we're not perfect, and we've said some stupid things, and we've done some stupid things, and we've had some stupid thoughts. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from his altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Looking up. I stopped reading. Looking up brings purpose. If you're looking for purpose in your life, don't look down. Look up. If you're looking for God's will in your life, don't look down at your situations. Look up to God. Yes, you got to keep walking. You got to keep going to work. You got to keep going to school. Got to keep being a good husband and a wife. You got to keep doing all that. But aim up with everything you're trying to do. Look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And when things get difficult, look up. When things are good, especially look up, because you're going to forget about that mountain Sister Jess told us about this morning. You're going to forget about those things. That's why I think David had this so right, is because David knew, I've got to constantly remind myself that he is up. In the good times when I'm killing giants, in the bad times when I'm committing adultery, I got to remember that God is up. When I'm anointed king and when my son dies because of my sin, I got to look up. I have to remember to look up, because if all I do is focus down, man, life feels overwhelming and I'm not going to grow. And I'm not going to change. And God's glory won't be in my life. We find purpose when he is lifted up. And you know what? This idea of that looking up brings purpose. Jesus himself said it in John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. If we will look up, God draws people to him. He didn't say, if I be lifted up, Peter or Calvary Gospel or the disciples will draw all men to me. He said, I will do the drawing, but you got to do the lifting. You start looking up to God in your life, and God will start growing. There will be an increase in your life, and there will be an increase in the number of people that are finding God. Lifting up brings purpose. Let's all stand. The last thing that looking up does is it brings eternal life. Looking up brings eternal life. John 3:14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's in looking unto Jesus that we find eternal life. It's when our aim and our focus is to Jesus. It's when we can look up past what we're doing. I know you're going through things. I know they're difficult. I know they're very hard. But look up. Because God doesn't want you thinking about where you're at. He wants you to think about his love for you. His grace that's for you. His tender mercies that are new every morning. So where are you looking? What's your focus on? Do you need a change in perspective? Paul in Philippians 4:8 says, well, hold on, before we get there. It's funny because in chapter 3, he says, I've not attained, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I do not count myself as to apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget the things which are behind me and I press forward to those which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then at the end of that chapter, he starts talking about, hey, our focus shouldn't be in this world. It should be in the next world. We are called to this future world. We're citizens of heaven, not citizens of this earth. He's telling us to look up. And then in 4:8, he says, finally, I'm trying to close this letter down, guys. I keep talking. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Look up to these things. Think about these things. Focus on these things. And the God of peace will be with you. God is calling you today to look up. To start changing how you're looking about your situations. Maybe bad things are happening to you. I don't know. But look up. Maybe it's dumb luck. Look up. Maybe people are purposely hurting you. Look up. Maybe it's your own dumb choices. Look up. Maybe it's God out there just trying to do something. Look up. God is with you. And we got to start seeing his love and his grace and his mercies. As they start singing, you can come and pray. You can take a chance to look up right now. Don't let this be your only chance. You should be doing this daily and as you go. But start right now and say, God, I want to change the way I'm looking right now. Look past your situations. Leave your situations on the ground and look up. Maybe you need to physically, just with your hands, drop them down. Say, God, this is yours. I'm looking up. I'm looking past my financial problems. I'm looking past my marriage problems. God, I'm looking past, Lord, the struggles I have at work. I'm looking past, Lord, what you want me to do with my life, and I don't know. God, I'm going to look up. Let's take some time today and look up. Call out to God. Lift him up.